The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
Watch you pay. We time for your weekly road crew tip, brought to you by the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series and Ken Barr Films.
That's right. It is Monday, November the 13th, and it is time for your tip for number 16. We're up to number 16 on these road tips brought to you by the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series, and we're having such a fantastic time. Those of you who may be tuning in and not realizing what it is that we're doing, we're bringing you weekly road crew tips for whether you're in the studio, whether you're on stage, whether you're out in the road, whether you need some understanding on what it is that everybody does behind the scenes. And it's cool because we get to catch up with some of the guys that we've been doing some of the interviews for the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series alerts that you see. Some of the guys have come back and done the load-in, the Radio Memphis load-in radio show that happens once a month, the first Thursday of every month right here at radio-memphis.com. And so we get to kind of keep in touch and we get to get some food for thought and all that cool stuff. And tonight is very cool because I get to catch back up with Mr. Dan Stevenson, who is the creator, CEO, and founder of Events on Sands. He's also with RNU Music Management. And I always love catching up with Dan because there's no telling what he'll say. Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm good, D. How you doing tonight?
Man, I'm rocking out, having a fantastic time. always, you know, trying to make it, trying to whittle all this Monday away, you know, so it's all good.
You still have a busy night.
I do. I have a very busy night. Everybody's been hanging out and having fun and listening to cool music. And of course, a little bit later on, I get to talk to Mr. Rob Yules, you know, from the Pain Method. You know, I mean, him and his drumming, and talk about his guns and all that good stuff. So I'm kind of excited.
I know that guy.
Yeah. He's kind of a cool dude. Yeah. So we're gonna, you know, introduce him to everybody that's tuned in and listening and all that good stuff. You know, and have some fun.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
There you are.
I'm here.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, we're going to rock out. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun with him a little bit later.
You there, D?
I am. Can you hear me, Dan?
Now we can, yeah.
Okay, good deal. I'm going to have to get some of this checked out, man. It's starting to become a thing. It's starting to become a thing. Are you still hanging out with me, Dan?
I am. I'm here.
Okay, good deal. Well, baby, you've got tip number 16 for me this week for everybody. So you had something in mind you wanted to share.
Well, yeah. Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about preparation.
Okay.
And kind of like, you know, you expressed to me over the time that you like your listeners to get an understanding of what, like, of obscurities that it takes to make some of this stuff work.
Yes.
So it may not be tips for guys that do what I do, although maybe somebody might go, wow, I never thought of that, and that's cool. Or maybe there's an aspiring sound guy out there that may listen to what I have to say and go, like, fuck that, I'll stick with sound. I want to be Robert Scoble or Dancer McCullough.
Right.
Anyway... I thought I'd go through a little bit of the gamut of preparedness.
Okay.
And we'll start with a simple thing. And every show, don't get the wrong idea, I'm not touting this, and every show is special, and every show has its idiosyncrasies.
Of course.
But I'm going to talk about Alice Cooper for a minute, because that's my frame of reference.
Absolutely.
And the Alice Cooper show... it's like a Broadway show, but it even moves even faster. And there's a huge amount of support elements that are required to make that show work every day.
Okay.
For instance, the Poison Tour, which it was his biggest album of his career, and the tour was huge. We were out there for like 18 months.
Right.
And the second time around, we were doing like 60 or 70 dates in Europe. And at the time, it was like developing countries in Europe. So, you know, we're finding ourselves in a God knows what building in Croatia and countries that aren't even on the map yet and so on. And there's certain things in the Alice Cooper show. For instance, still to this day, they close the show with Schools Out. And during Schools Out, there's big 6-foot balloons.
Yes.
And in these 6-foot balloons, there's a little shot of helium so they can float over the kids' heads. And we would release a dozen or so of these balloons into the house.
Of course.
And in these balloons is Alex Cooper characteristic stuff. There's fake money with his picture on it, and rubber snakes, and blood, and talcum powder, and all manner of stuff. And the kids look forward to this. They try and break him, and stuff falls out of him, and they walk away with the stuff, and it's part of the show. You got to do that every day. The kids know about this.
Ah, okay.
So you got to plan this sort of thing months in advance. You know, we would go through a gallon and a half, for instance, of stage blood every show.
Yuck, really?
So you have to take all that stuff with you. You know, there's no such thing as being in Bucharest, Romania in the middle of the day trying to figure out how we're going to get this show into an abandoned Red Air Force aviation hangar, let alone having the prop guy come up to you in the middle of the afternoon saying, oh, by the way, Dan, there's no balloons for schools out. You just can't do that.
No, you can't. Everybody would be upset.
You know, there was a song in that show, which is still one of my favorite Alice Cooper songs, called This Maniac's in Love with You. And every night during that song, he would destroy a cardboard cutout of himself that's dressed exactly like he was.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, again, you can't have the prop guy come to you and say, oh, by the way, Dan, we're out of cutouts. I think you're going to call the local graphics company and grab Yugoslavia.
No.
And have 20 of those sent over you at 3 in the afternoon.
You can't do that either.
So it's not just what it's about is you can't just have a spare box of nuts and bolts and stuff. You have to, I mean, the preparation for some of this is like months in advance to make sure that the show is what the show needs to be every day.
Absolutely. And I'm glad, you know, Dan, I'm glad you put it like that, because so many people have the preconceived notion that, you know, these things just magically show up and just magically happen. And they really don't understand what all goes behind this. You know?
Hello.
I'm
here.
Okay.
No, I got you.
Okay, good. You know, I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, a lot of people don't realize all the preparation that has to happen. They think things magically show up.
I was sitting at a Roger Waters show recently.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, again, people don't, and it's not their duty to particularly, or their frame of knowledge, but I was sitting in the audience at a Roger Waters show recently, and, you know, I'm still amazed by this stuff. And it's one thing to think about the preparation and the engineering and stuff that we go through to hang a couple of 100,000 pounds of stuff over the audience's head every night.
Right.
But I was sitting at a Roger Waters show recently, and out comes the flying pig.
Of course.
And, you know, to the normal guy sitting in the audience, which is what it's supposed to be, but what you have to realize is, the operative word here is flying. So, well, but the point of it is the preparation and the engineering and the skill that somebody's taken to drive that thing around there. That thing, and it's an inflatable. So yeah, it's a balloon. It's not. It's got motors. It's got fans in it. It's got a driving mechanism. It's got all the remote control guts for the controller to fly it over the audience. And again, the operative word is flying. You're flying this thing over the audience. It can't fail,
right,
or it falls in the audience.
You're right. Liability.
It's enormous amount of preparation and liability and stuff just to, you know, people think it's just his way of making a campy political statement, but what that device is about is a serious piece of business.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff.
And here's another thing, since I said the word business. Years ago, when I was with Julio Iglesias during the mid-80s,
yes,
one year he released his first all-English record, which was hugely successful, especially here in the States. It was the first time he was playing in arenas, and we were killing it.
Yes.
And he also released a Spanish album again called Raíces that year, and it was huge in every Spanish-speaking country. So the European tour that year was all about stadiums. Huge stadiums.
Wow.
And it just happened that summer, Amnesty International decided that they were going to whack a tour together. And they got every giant act that was available that summer. And I remember Sting was on the tour, and I think he headlined, but I don't remember who else. But it was one of these all-star things.
Okay.
It was put together at the last minute, and they weren't doing, you know, New York one day and Washington, D.C. the next day. They were playing, like, Red Square, and then 3 days later they were playing in in Beijing and Tiananmen Square, and they were making these huge international statements.
Wow.
And they had a couple of dates that they needed to do in Europe.
Okay.
And they were booking these things as, they were booking this thing as catch as catch can. Okay, such and such stadium is available. We need to throw a show into there. And they were doing it on a shoestring.
Nice.
And Mike Grassley, the production manager, called me. And he had looked at Polestar or something, and he saw that we were playing a bunch of dates in stadiums that they were, that they had in mind to go into.
Okay.
So he called me, and what he and I did was, I would send him, we did this in three or four locations. There's three that I can think of off the top of my head. One of them was the Nou Camp in Barcelona. One of them was at Real Madrid, and the other one was at Wembley Stadium.
Wow.
And what we did was, because he had no time, he was literally going from China to Europe to do a series of dates, and they were it was madness for them to try and put this together. So what he and I did was, they played these three or four dates concurrently with us.
Okay.
And what I did was, we would play our, I would send him our steel plan for this stage. And in those days, it was the old antiquated approach to PA system. We had enormous amounts of PA system, which required enormous amounts of steel to be built.
Of course.
And their show had, for instance, they had a different PA wing configuration, and they also had projection in their show, which in those days was antiquated. It was a real pain in the ass.
Nice.
So what they did was, they wound up booking three of their shows right behind me. So what I did was, while my crew was loading out our show, I brought in the Belgian stage crew, the Belgian steel crew.
Oh, okay.
With Mike Grassley's plan. And while my guys were loading out, I completely reconfigured the stage for Amnesty International while my show was loading out.
Oh, my God.
So when they got in there, the stage was completely finished and ready for them to hang whatever the difference was between our show and theirs.
Wow.
And we split the cost of the staging, which so the gross revenue from our show went up by, you know, I'm making this up, but $100,000 or tens and tens of thousands of dollars.
Wow, wow.
And the same thing happened with them, is the same tens of thousands or $100,000, whatever it wound up to be, went to their cause.
Ah.
And all it was a simple bit of preparation and a couple of phone calls between he and I that had a huge impact.
That's insane. I would never even have thought of that. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
So it's just a sort of, you know, it's three stories, but it's just a sort of gamut through the what it takes to prepare to do any of this nonsense.
Yes. It's a lot more than what people give it credit for sometimes, I think, that are not in the business. You know what I mean? They really don't understand what all you have to do.
Well, yeah, that was the point of it. And I'm not trying to say we're anything special other than the understanding of what it takes to sort of...
No, you're very...
Baby. To make this mission guys happen.
Baby, you are special. Are you crazy? Are you kidding? You know, that's my whole point, you know, of doing all of this, is to let everybody understand just exactly how magical some of this has to be, you know?
Well, and the thing about it is that cardboard cutout is just as important as that projection screen in Real Madrid.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's all part of the mechanism. You know, everything has got to fly all at the same time. You know, absolutely. No, that's good, and I'm glad you took this approach.
So yeah, so it's just a little taste of sort of what it takes to get it there that these fortunate people are looking at every day.
Perfect. That's perfect. I'm really glad you took that approach. That's awesome. You know, it gets everybody a little food for thought. You know, you got to be on your toes. So it's the good stuff. That's some real good stuff. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome, G.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. You got anything cool, crazy that you're planning on doing this week?
No, actually. I'm sure, you know, the pain method's on my mind these days. And
of course.
You're going to talk to His Majesty tonight, Mr. Yules.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Perfect. I'm sure that's taking up a lot of my time. The CES show's starting up here in Vegas shortly. I'm doing a bunch of stuff for Bose. which I do every year.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, you're busy. You're a busy man. You got a lot of stuff that's working. That's working out.
Yeah.
Several burners.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep busy.
Well, good. Well, honey, I want to thank you for always stopping down and taking time with me here. You know, I appreciate you so much, more than you could ever know.
Anytime, Dee. Anytime, baby.
Yeah. So I'm gonna let you sit back, let you relax. You know, maybe actually tune in to us here. You know, and have some fun. You know, while you're watching football. I know you're watching football.
I am.
I was like, don't lie. I know you're watching football. And is there a certain game you're watching?
I'm watching Monday Night Football. It's the Dolphins and the Panthers.
And the score is?
The score is 38-14 Panthers.
Just checking.
Yeah, I know why you're checking. You ready for my fashion segment?
It was right there. And I was like, and what are they wearing? Look, man, nothing but love. That goes love, like, to somebody special I know who's listening.
Yeah, it does.
It's just saying, you know, it's okay. Fashion statement, what to wear and what not to wear. In fact, the next time we do a tip together, that you have to do that now. The next one has to be fashion.
Careful what you wish for. I might know what I'm talking about.
I want to be impressed, because you'll probably come up with some, like, really, you know, crazy quasi cool thing that makes absolute perfect sense. You know, and I will eat. I'll eat crow.
That's what I was going to say. You know, I can at least make up something that sounds like I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know what? I could like totally make it rule or something, and I would totally eat crow for it, and I would be happy to do so. So next time, if I call on you, just know automatically it is a fashion thing next time we do this.
Okay. Again, careful what you wish for.
The gauntlet's thrown. Let's see where this goes. Listen, baby, listen, you have a good night. We'll catch up here in a little bit, okay?
Thanks. Good night, Dee.
All right. Good night, baby.
Bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye. Mr. Dan Stevenson right here on Radio Memphis. All right. That was tip number 16 for the Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series. And it wasn't so much as a tip as it was just to give our listeners somewhat of an insight, you know, on the preparedness that has to happen for a lot of these guys when they're doing these shows and they're putting together these events and they're having to make some crazy cool things happen. And, you know, you just don't ever really know what it is that you're faced with, and you have to understand that it's not even necessarily even a minute-to-minute or a day-to-day thing, that you do have to look ahead, and you do have to plan. So I'm real thrilled that he actually brought that up, because that'll let you guys know that's tuned in, ultimately kind of what's going on.
Tune in every Monday night at 9:30 p.m. Central to Radio Memphis for your weekly tips in the studio, on the stage, and out on the road. It's all part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series, and it's only on Radio Memphis.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.